Delighted to be your host again today. Yes, getting our new year off with a bang, so to speak. But not the usual kind of bang like something exploding, but an explosion of some love. Now, this is in keeping with my theme. Daily I pray, Heavenly Father, show me the best ways to have the most fun inspiring the largest number of people to easily, naturally, joyously experience vibrantly, exquisitely, healthy, wealthy, passionate living in the shortest amount of time with the least intrusion into their lives so we can all get our needs met and celebrate a global loving community that works for everyone. And we are so blessed today. Our show brought to you by AdvancedLiving.com that helps pay the bills. And when you have a moment, you're invited to go visit AdvancedLiving.com. If you'd like to sleep better, if you'd like to be more productive, and if you'd like something simple, you just plug it in, and your life gets better. And people call in and say,
"That was easy."
Yes, easy. And so today, we are so thrilled and honored, because there is a wonderful, wonderful project by Taja Lee Tolan, and she is part of a group of people that are doing the Children's Global Peace Project. And, of course, that's vast in scope. They're still expanding. It was a local project and then went global. And I know before too long they probably want to go interplanetary. But we've still got some children on planet Earth that aren't feeling too happy and some parents. And so they've still got plenty of work here before they have to get on those spaceships and go other places. But just for a little bit of a background, her name Taja Lee, and it's also Teresa. She is a marriage and family therapist and a parent educator, and she's been working in the field of family and child and community emotional and mental health for 20 years. And she has coordinated and directed numerous children's and family peace campaigns and peace programs into which she integrates, I love this, nurturing spirituality in children and spiritual parenting principles. So it's not just about the kids, it's the parents and the kids, it's all of us. And she's a certified leader and supervised dance mentor of the Dances of Universal Peace. And I know most of you haven't heard about that, but oh my gosh, this is a dance you don't need lessons to do, and it's wonderful. And she's been doing that for the past 11 years, and she currently leads Family Universal Worship Services and also has led dances in a variety of settings, schools, prisons, and family programs. And of course, we know that, you know, some families need help, so those could be prisons. But when she gets through with them, guess what? We get to break free into more love. So let's bring on our beloved guest, Taja Lee. Welcome aboard to Advanced Living, Taja Lee.
Hello, Kenneth. I'm really happy to be here.
Thank you. Thank you. When I get to do things about children and peace, I get to be such a playful, wise guy sometimes. And we then, of course, give you a chance to correct anything that I messed up. But I would like, at least initially, can you give us an overview of the Children's Global Peace Project?
Yes, I can. I'd be happy to. The Children's Global Peace Project is a peace program that we bring into schools to help children reflect the peace that already exists in their heart, teach them skills of talking and relating peacefully with others, and then to work peacefully in a group. We do this through art and movement. We create a peace banner that is sent to coordinating classrooms in other countries or other parts of the United States, and we also lead multicultural dances with the Dances of Universal Peace. And then after we do that initial week-long project, we work with the school to create a integrated peace curriculum that they can use, and it's sustainable after we're gone.
Wow. Wow. Now, that's pretty powerful. And so you've been at this for a period of time, and tell me.
We've been working. This January marks our second year, and in the past year, and Kevin, I think if you're on, you can correct this, that we've worked with about 7,000 children in Wisconsin, in Colorado, in Uganda, Brazil, Costa Rica, and we continue to go. I want to go all over the world. I want a peace banner in every classroom that would reflect a peaceful environment and a peaceful heart, and I would like to see a peace curriculum in every school in the world.
Yes. Wow. Now, I'm just wondering, you developed this. Now, how did you come up with this idea?
I had been working in peace camps, which is where I met Kevin, co-director. I've been working in peace camps for about 12, 14 years, and there I'd be able to work with children doing nature-based ceremonies and community activities and helping them find, not helping them, they actually have quite a bit of resources inside of them, but really attuning to what's naturally inside a child, love, peace, and harmony, the breath. And then I also work as a therapist, and I do in-home family therapy, and I would go into homes and try to relate these practices into families who were struggling quite a bit, and it didn't seem to match. And when my daughter was in first grade, 7 years ago, I had the inspiration of bringing the dances and peace practices into school. And her first grade teacher, when I mentioned the idea, thought it was a good idea, and we aligned it with Martin Luther King, and we did a multicultural week. And that was the first time that I had the opportunity to work with so many kids. There were 150 children, and I worked in groups of 40 to 60. And what amazed me at that moment was how incredibly receptive the children were to the notion of quiet your body, close your eyes, and go inside, and find the peaceful place that lives there. And I was surprised how readily they went there. And the room got really quiet. I've not ever worked with that many children at once. Usually it's 20 to 25, 40 to 60. And the other thing that really amazed me in that first week, this was 7 years ago that I initially started. That first week when I did the banner activity and then also led the dances was how innately kind children were. There were about 10%, 15% of that classroom who had special needs and pretty severe special needs. And I watched how the children were naturally kind to each other and inclusive. if somebody was behind in a movement or not getting the instruction, the child next to them or around them would stop and naturally include them into the activity.
Wow. You know,
yeah.
That's reminiscent. There was a famous, it was up in Seattle, I don't know if it was 10 years ago, but it was a Special Olympics, and they had a race. And, of course, these were children of various ages that had different kinds of challenges, and
mm-hmm.
physical, emotional, mental, different challenges, and then they were having a 100-yard dash. And so the gun goes off, and the race begins, and they get about partway down, maybe halfway there, and one of the youngsters falls, and then that was a behind everyone, and before long, people are looking around to see what's going on, and all the participants in the race stopped, went back, helped the one youngster who had fallen to get up, and then together, hand in hand, they all finished the race at the same time. It was so beautiful.
Yes. I think that we can create a world that's where we all are interacting with each other in that way, and that it's not based on competition. It's
yeah.
based on inclusion and love and joy.
Sure. Now, a couple of things. You had made mention that you had brought a dance into the classroom.
Yes.
And I don't think... I would love to have more of my listeners become aware of this idea of a dance of universal peace.
Would you like me to share more about what they are?
Oh, please.
The dances of universal peace are simple circle dances that represent all the world's cultures, traditions, and religions. And they are based on sacred chants or sounds and words that are held in high esteem to that culture. They can be viewed as a spiritual practice, and they also can be viewed as a multicultural practice, and that's how we present them in the schools. And when I first learned the dances, I had been searching for a place where everyone was included and where song and music was used and to honor each other. And when I came to the dances, I found that, and I wanted to bring them to children because they're so joyful and fun, and they're a way of really learning about different cultures because they're in different languages. And that was another thing that was amazing to me, is that I've learned a few words in many, many different languages, and wow, wouldn't it be wonderful if all of our children have that experience.
Yes, when the ability to learn languages comes so easily in our childhood.
Yes.
Ah, wow. Well, that's wonderful. Now, I'm just curious because, for some people, there may be some negative connotations around peace or the peace movement. what would you say to them?
I say that peace is our natural, I believe it's our natural inclination, and that when people are feeling hesitant to experience or cautious, it's just because they haven't had the opportunity to experience that. And we live in a container that is fear-based and competitive. And so it gives me the opportunity to practice peace.
Mm.
Of just accepting and tolerance that this is one world and there's many different ways to come to that realization. And I think it needs to start with the children.
Yes, yes. And now people, I guess, can find out more by visiting your website, can't they?
Yes, which is www.cgpp.org.
For Children's Global Peace Project.org.
Yes.
So, CGPP, org.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm looking at a page here that says goals and objectives, and there's a picture that would be a picture of the world, some of North and South America, except
yes.
instead of a round globe, it's shaped like a heart. And right in the middle of this thing, as words say, first, we find peace in our own hearts.
Yes.
How about that?
That's one. May I speak to that a second?
Oh, I hope so.
I have, through my years as a therapist and a parent educator, and I have an older son, and so I've been interested in how do we help create a world that really is a more peaceful place. And I've studied and researched different peace curriculums or social and emotional curriculums, and until recently, I had not found any that focused on the heart. It was all focused on conflict resolution, which is important. Those are really important skills. But if one does not have the means to create peace in themselves first, I haven't seen it be very effective in resolving conflict. And so finding peace in your heart, to us, is the first stage.
Wow. Wow. Well, this is interesting. It sounds a little bit, you may have heard of Marshall Rosenberg's work of nonviolent
communication. Very much so. Yep. Yes.
And I like that from the standpoint that you said that we all have so much in common. There are 9 basic needs that we're trying to fulfill, and no matter what color or size or sex or you name it, a race, all the different things of people on the planet, we have similar basic needs, and if we're not getting those needs met, then we're not very happy. And when we can get our needs met and find some peace, then it's easier to be attentive to someone else's needs. And I'm curious if you find some of that applying in your work.
Absolutely. And that, in fact, Marshall Rosenberg's nonviolent communication is really important. And we use that process in our program, as well as focusing on heart-centered practices and practices inspired by heart math. In this process, I want to digress just slightly. There is finding peace inside and then peaceful practices with others, in which NBC does provide that, and also transformational processes called the journey work. Those are 2 avenues of which we are working in building partnerships. The paradigm of Children's Global Peace Project really acknowledges that we all need to do this together, and that if we partner with other organizations and build a wider circle of people who are focused on building peace. So it's not competitive. I really see this as a model of building, bringing partnerships to a new paradigm in the world that is based on sharing resources, sharing goals, that we all need to do this together.
Wow, that's beautiful. You know, when I look at this part of on your website, CGPP for Children's Global Peace Project.org, and I see that heart with those nice words on it, first we find peace in our own hearts, it reminds me of a story of a busy businessman who comes home and his child wants to get some attention and play with him, and dad needs to do something for a few minutes. So dad gets a bright idea, opens a magazine, and there's a picture of the world there.
Mm-hmm.
And so dad tears out that page from the magazine and then tears up the picture of the world into little pieces and says, "Son, I've got something that I'd like you to do. Would you please take and piece this back together again, and I can't wait to see how you do this." And Dad's thinking, oh, good, the kid's going to play along, and it's going to take him a half hour or who knows how long to put the pieces back together. 5 minutes later, the kid comes in, and Dad's like, what's going on here?
Uh-huh.
And the kid says, well, I was having a hard time at first, and a couple of the pieces were turned over, and I saw that there was a picture of a person. And so I turned over all the pieces, and it was so easy to put the picture of the person back together. And so when I got the person right, then the world was right.
Oh, wow. That's so beautiful, Kenneth. I've never heard that story.
I had a feeling you hadn't, is why
no.
It led me to want to share that with you, because it'll be an important story for you to share with the kids.
It will, and it reminded me of one of our prophecies, and if it's all right, I'd like to share that with you.
Oh, yes.
All the listeners. After we have done what we call the Multicultural Week, which is creating the banners, introducing the concepts, creating the banners, and then doing the dances and having a dance celebration. And I will say that our experience has been that we'll work with a number of classes, but then if the school is willing, we'll teach the entire school the dances and then bring them all together. And that has been just an amazing experience to... the greatest number that we've worked with is 300 children, all singing and dancing the same songs that are inspirational. And to see the looks on their face and also on their parents, because we invite the parents to see it, it's so joyful. I mean, when you tell parents that you've got 300 children who are dancing and singing and they're all in congruency and they go, huh, how can that be possible? But that was really... just such a highlight in my life to have had that experience last year, and we're getting ready to do that again at the end of this month. But the story I want to tell you is that after that week-long experience, then we start to go into the classroom 1 half hour a week, 1 hour a week. We call it circle time, where we are teaching the piece skills and working with the teacher to create a peaceful environment in the classroom. And one of the things that I do is cut out a heart, and this is a borrowed activity, it's not my own, but the heart says, I'm important on it. And I hold it up to the kids and I tell them that they all have a heart inside that says I'm important, because they all are so very important. And that sometimes we hear things or experience things that takes that away, and then I tell a story about a little girl named Teresa, I use my own name, of how she experiences a morning of which she's yelled at, she can't find the right clothes, her sisters make fun of her, she drops her books on the way to school, and every time something difficult happens, I tear the heart. And so there's very little left. And then I ask the children, how ready is Teresa to learn in school? And to see the expressions on the children's face when they experience the heart being torn apart, it's very kinesthetic for them. And I've had, this is where I thought of your story, one third grade class, the little boy sitting next to me, as soon as I tore the heart apart, he was working to put it back together.
Mm.
And so that's what we did. I learned from them. And so we, after the heart is taken, torn apart, and we talk about what does that feel like, what's happened for Teresa, and I say, what are the ways that we can build the heart back together side? And so the children come up with the ideas. We can think good things about ourselves, or we can use kind words, or we can ask people not to yell at us. So they then innately know what they need to do to take care of their own heart. So your story reminded me of that story, which has become foundational for our program.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, this is truly exciting. And I'm wondering, because certainly this is a lot of beautiful things that you're talking about, and you're giving some examples. Do you have something that helps us to know how you're making a difference, not just when you're doing your program, but after you've left and they're there carrying on without you.
Yes. You mean like working with the teachers and helping them develop activities that they continue on, or are you talking about the pen pal relationships that were?
Well, I'm just kind of curious because we've all had a good feeling. I've been to many seminars that were motivational, mm-hmm. and I was motivated out of my mind. And
yes.
and then 3 days later, my hot bath of motivation had cooled off, and I was back to where I was. And most of us have had things that started off with a bang, but didn't continue. It was just fizzled out. And so I want people to be able, when they're thinking about contributing to this, because you are a 501(c) tax exempt organization, aren't you?
We are, and we really need the contributions dearly.
Yeah.
So we would appreciate that.
Yeah,
how do we continue on? Well,
I mean, it would be nice to hear some examples for me. I mean, if I'm, someone that has a bunch of extra money,
mm-hmm.
not just to hear that, you know, you guys put on a nice program and then we're gone, I'd like to hear about some follow-up that was whatever, a month, 2 months, 6 months, a year later. What do you have of that?
What we see and change it. Well, I can tell you that we create teams that go into the school and we stay with the classroom that we're contracted to work with. And that has a variety of different flavors depending upon the school and the area. In Denver, in the school that we're working in, we have a peace team that's working with 7 classes and we go in weekly. And we have a celebration at the end of the year that acknowledges their skills and what they've learned. They've become peace ambassadors. And then in Wisconsin, we have, I'm counting, 6 classrooms, plus we're also working, developing a peace club where we're working with a middle school combined with Roots and Shoots with the Jane Goodall work. And in Wisconsin, the group at the middle school students, we are working as service projects, how we can help the environment, how we can help families, and also help animals. And so the students come up with those ideas as ways to know that we've made a difference. The last time that I was in Central Elementary in Colorado, we had finished the week-long project in October, and we were sitting there debriefing, and the principal, we were in her classroom, she turned around, and she had a tear rolling down her cheek, and she said, "I have to tell you that this program has made an amazing impact. Because we are a school that is 100% poverty, and we're also really low in academic performance. The district has increased the mandates for academic performance, and so there's walkthroughs. Teachers are under more pressure. We have 100 more students and 2 less teachers than we did last year." And she said, "People's hearts were really in a really difficult space." She said, "I have a teacher crying in my office every week, and this week, what I saw is that teachers are smiling." They're talking with each other. Students are singing down the hallway. And there are 3 teachers who have come to me and asked if they could have the project in their classroom. So we're a new program where we are still learning how to collect and demonstrate the data that reflect that we are teaching the skills and that they are settling into the child and replicable. But what we have is a lot of anecdotal information that, like this, like the principal saying, "This is how I've seen the change happening." And the school psychologist who says this is the most transformational program that she's ever experienced in her life.
Well,
and then
all right.
I have, yes, well, one of our students from the same school who was in 5th grade last year, And I saw him that same week in October. He was in now middle school, and he came running up to me after school. He had come to pick up his sister, and he said, "When are you coming to my school?" And he was really desperate, saying, "We really need to have the peace team in our school, and we're at a place right now that we're only able to continue with the classes that and schools that we've been working with nationally because of our funding. And as soon as we have more funding, we will expand because we know the students want it and the teachers want it."
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Now, what school is it that Barack's children go to?
The school that I was speaking of is Central Elementary in Commerce City.
Well, I was talking about Barack Obama's children and how that would be a lovely place for you to do one of your programs.
Oh, I think so, too.
Yeah. So just go out and camp outside the school and show them. Do you have videos of some of your work?
Yes, we do, and we're working to polish our videos. We have our newest one is up on the site, our website right now.
We can go to what site is that again?
Yep. That's www.cgpp.org.
Which stands for?
Children's Global Peace Project.
cgpp.org. Okay.
Yep.
Gotta like that. And you also have the web name of Children's Global Peace Project.org?
Yes.
So if someone typed in all the words instead of CGPP,
they
would end up there?
Site.
Okay.
Yes.
See, folks, they are so accommodating at this organization. It's not just about peace for the kids in the school. It's a more peaceful life because they're making it easier for you to find them and then embrace these things. Oh, hooray. And one of the things that I can add for all the listeners, the work that you're doing with the nonviolent communication of Dr. Marshall Rosenberg or the journey work that Brandon Bays originated, processes for helping people to really release some pent-up emotions or to find ways of communicating in very kind and gentle ways. So you're not just in there doing little dances. There's a depth to your program that really brings some powerful tools. Isn't that right?
Exactly, yes. And in Wisconsin, we are working with four first-grade classrooms. And the music teacher found out that we were doing this peace program and has decided to make their concert. I'm not sure if they have this in California, but in Wisconsin, each grade puts on their own concert. And so this year, she's asked us to come in, which is really interesting for a teacher to say, please, to an independent community group, please come in, teach all of the children the songs, and do some dances. She wants to showcase this program for all the parents because she feels like they need to know about it, which is pretty wonderful. And then I also want to add that we are working locally with children. That is our first focus, and I believe that the goal of this organization is working with children. But the other area that we are doing is we're very interested in how to work on a systemic cultural level. The organization has been invited to a global summit that was instrumental from the Peace Alliance. It was to develop the Department of Peace in the United States. And in lieu of that starting, they have begun the process to develop a National Peace Academy here in the States. And we were invited to that. And I was able to take two students from our Peace Club who came and participated with 120 people from all over the country. And then there were representatives internationally as well. And these students got to not only participate, but they also presented to a group. I have found that we have many different organizations and facilities that want to help children and enhance education, but we usually don't ask children what that would look like. And I believe that we really need to use children and students at every age as resource in developing programs. And so that happened last March. And from that, a little aside, there is now a National Peace Academy happening in the United States. And from there, we were invited to a global summit in Costa Rica that had, I think there were 140 representatives from 140 different countries. And we were, again, asked to participate because of our focus on children and bringing programs like this to children all over the world. So we're very interested in not only working locally, but how to build the network and support the structures that will help not only children, but parents and the systems of which we're all involved.
Wow. Wow. So this this has many, many implications. And now, do you have any ways? I'm wondering, how are you basically getting the word out there to help raise funds for the work you're doing? I don't know if you can say, well, if you can contribute this much, we can, if you can contribute $5 or $10 or 50 or $10 million, some amount of money.
$10 million works for me.
Okay.
We can
help this many kids. Can you give us an idea about that? Because I don't know what some of the costs are to put on one of your programs.
Right. I'm sorry, I'm not having that information right in front of me.
No, I didn't know. It doesn't have to be down to the penny. And if that's not on topic, that's okay, because I was just trying to think of some phrase to be able to say, okay, look, we can help this many kids, and it costs us about this much, so it's about this much per student. And so for this amount of money, because you know, there's something that says here, for a dollar a day, you can feed a child
right.
in this country, or some, you know, in
yes.
a third world country. So anyway,
thank you. That's helpful. I do remember that number. It is about $25 per student to bring this program into their school.
And the program is that for the week long, or is that longer?
Well, that is the week-long project.
Okay.
And I don't have a calculator. Yeah.
And then you have follow-up systems, right? So for that, $25 per student for a week-long program that will bring literally lasting peace to the school and the students.
We believe so.
I haven't had a chance to look through your website very much. One of the things that I would love to be seeing, I see on one of the videos, there's a group of children. Is that in possibly Uganda?
Yes. Kevin has been in Uganda, and he's been working with students there.
Can people see a number of different videos of children expressing how beautiful this is for them?
Yes, they can. that we do have a video on there where the students from Uganda were interviewed and shared how important peace is to them, which is pretty precious. I have learned from Kevin that some of these students are first and second generation of the wars that are going on there, and they are so hungry for peace. And what amazed me when I watched this video and the video clips is that even though they have experienced loss in their countries, so different from what we experience here, they are focused on building peace, that's what they want. And we find that from the letters, too, that they write. That is what they're writing to our students here in the United States. Please just help us build peace. And I can say that's replicated when I worked with the students in Costa Rica.
I was wondering about that.
Well, they too. And what was amazing to me is how in Costa Rica, where the culture is, the government is set up to focus on peace. And it's not that they don't have violence, because there is violence there, but there is a higher level expectation that this is what the kind of world that we want to live in.
Well, take me to Costa Rica. All right. That's very exciting. I didn't know that Costa Rica had things in place as a government to help bring forward more peaceful interactions among the people.
Mm-hmm. They do. They even have one of the partners that we're working with is Rita Marie Johnson, who was instrumental in developing legislature that would have peace education in every classroom in Costa Rica. She started the National Peace Academy there, and we are partnering with her using her peace curriculum called Be Peace. And I'm sorry, I lost my thought for a second.
Yeah, you're partnering with this woman in Costa Rica.
Yes. And she's the one who brought us down to Costa Rica for the International Global Summit, and how we got into the school network there. And she actually has a model of how to build a network, both at a governmental level and an educational level.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'm just curious because there's, I guess you're working in some different countries, and do you think you could end up getting some effective funding, possibly for doing, you know, some of this foreign aid work? Because it sounds like it would be very effective.
That's what I'm hoping. That's my goal.
Okay.
Is that we do get sustainable funding. And, Kenneth, I do have the numbers in front of me now that I can say. That. May I share them right now?
Oh, yes. That'd be fabulous.
$25 will buy a music booklet and CD for school to learn the dances of peace. $75 will buy the art supplies needed to work with the school. $250 will allow a classroom to experience the week-long peace program. And $500 will help a teacher bring a sustainable long-term peace program into the classroom.
Okay. Now, and so this isn't per student, is it? This is, if I'm hearing, how many students can this take care of? You said $250. And then 500?
Right. 250 would be for a classroom of 25 to 30 students.
Okay. Okay.
And 500 will help the teacher. That's our what it costs us to bring a peace team in weekly to work with the teacher and integrate peace curriculum into their school or into their classroom.
Wow, and I guess you start with the school boards getting their permission and then moving it down onto the classroom level, or is this something where some of the teachers actually boldly invite you in on their own?
Yes, that happens. We actually have started and worked with principals at this point. In Colorado, we did work with the school board briefly, but most of our work has been direct contact with principals and teachers asking us to come in. And that's happening more and more over a teacher will hear about this. I just got an invitation for a school in Madison. I don't know if that was acknowledged, but I live in Wisconsin, south of Madison, and I've got two requests this week to go into school.
Well, you know, for people that live in Madison, I'm not sure what your dietary preference is, but Cam Ramsey at Madison Sourdough, it's a fine,
yes,
fine bakery.
I know that place.
Okay.
You do too?
Oh, yes. Yeah, Cam's been a customer of mine. He's got the Comfort technology that he's used for about 10, 12 years. And he's just such a fine gentleman that puts a lot of effort into the work that he does, and And so it would be delightful to go in, and because I wouldn't be surprised if he might be willing to contribute. Plus, he's got a friend.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you. I will put him on my list of people to connect with.
Yeah, yeah. Tell him you're on the radio show with Kenneth Lesser and the Comfort Technology and Advanced Living Radio, and he'll remember.
Okay, I will do that.
There you go. Oh, we're connected all over the place, folks. This is pretty fun. My goodness. So one of the things that came up to me as I was thinking about your stuff is addressing something where here students are coming in into a classroom and doing this program, and what is there to support them when they take this home where there tends to be a lot of unhappiness or domestic violence or of different forms. I mean, some of it's physical, some of it's verbal, some of it's emotional. But I'm kind of curious about that aspect of your program.
Well, that is one area that we are wanting to expand in. I do believe that any sustainable program works with all aspects of a child's life, and that includes parents and family living. That is in the wings of being planned. We send letters home to parents. I have parent education curriculums, and I'm waiting to develop that, but I honor that we can't move any faster than where we're at right now, given
sure.
funding.
Yeah,
but well, I will tell you that we have students who come back to us and say, you know that peaceful place meditation? Well, I taught it to my mom because she was kind of yelling and all stressed out. And I just told her that if she goes inside and takes a deep breath and cools off, then it would be a lot better for her to figure out how to solve the problem. When I hear that from children, then I know, okay, they're good.
Yeah, well, I would hope that the children, and I don't know how, I think this could be kind of fun. I do a lot of creative consulting work, and so you may have begun to gather that as some of the different things I've interjected in our conversation.
Yes, yes.
Yes, exactly, good thinking. Now, and good recognition. So to me, I don't know if the kids have a little booklet that they take home that shows some of the things they learned, because then the invitation to me would be, while the parents, one or both of them, is feeling good, the child gets some time to show them this. Because when they're not feeling so good, it may not be the easiest time for them to stop and do the peaceful meditation.
Right.
You know, and they're going over the edge and screaming and yelling and whatever. So so I don't know if they what they have for take-home stuff, but I think that's wonderful. And I was getting a vision of you connecting with the National Parent Teachers Association and the PTA becoming more involved in supporting what you're doing.
Beautiful ideas, Kevin.
I know. This is spirit talking to you here through me.
I got it. We do create little booklets for kids, and they're called the Feelings and Needs Booklets. And they're very, very simple, but they get to use them in their desk. We give them several aids, little booklets. We, with the peace banner that they make, I make little pictures and give a picture out to the child at the end of the year. They get a peace certificate that identify the peace skills that they've been working on. But I am going to add a peace book that goes home that has the peace skills in it. So thank you.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. This is very good. We're figuring
See, we're
a lot out.
We're working together.
Yes. So it looks like a radio interview is actually a radio interview and a coaching session.
Well, it's also co-creation because this is where we are really at an amazing point in our evolution where we're recognizing that we can manifest instantly and that we do this in relationship with each other. We co-create. There's no one right way to do this. So thank you for participating in my co-creation, and I hope that I'm fulfilling your needs.
Yes, absolutely. We're bringing forward something important and a value. When you think about, when people go to your beautiful program, childrensglobalpeaceproject.org, or for less typing, cgpp.org, they're going to learn about what you're doing and be able to get, links to different resources that help them to learn about this, and plus on top of it, they can watch a video of some happy children. And if they haven't seen happy children lately, it's kind of nice.
I agree. It's pretty delightful to see them. And it in this most recent video where we have interviewed students where they are able to share how the Children's Global Peace Project has impacted in their life.
Yeah.
That's very special for me to see that.
Now, I'm not keeping up totally on this.
We've got to wrap up.
Oh, wow. Okay. Guess what we get to do?
do we get to do?
We're going to be wrapping up. We got started late, so we lost about 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, folks, I'm glad to have you tune in every week to Advanced Living. And thank you so much, Ajali, for being part of this. Just send you my blessings and look forward to staying in touch with you.
Thank you so much, Ken.
You're welcome. Until we meet again, beloved listeners, Ajali, God bless, and goodbye for now.
All right. Let's go.